In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Be doers of the word. Yes, even you Lutherans, who know full well that you are justified by faith apart from observing the law. Even you Lutherans, who rightly confess that you are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Even you Lutherans, who acknowledge the truth, that you cannot earn or merit God's grace through your works. Even you Lutherans, be doers of the word. To be a doer of the word, first of all, you have to be a hearer of the word. In other words, you have to have faith. Only true believers in Jesus Christ can be doers of the word, and one becomes a true believer in Jesus Christ by hearing the word. Faith comes from hearing, St. Paul tells us, and hearing through the word of Christ. In his epistle, St. James is addressing those who have heard the word and have been brought to faith through that word. He is addressing baptized believers in Jesus Christ, not unbelievers and not those who once believed but no longer do. He is speaking to those who attend church regularly but have become complacent in their faith. They are merely going through the motions. They believe that since they are saved, they are free to live however they please, to think, act, and do whatever they like. They have become guilty of taking their faith for granted. They hear the word regularly, but that word has no effect on them. It doesn't change them. It doesn't guide their lives. They hear the word, but they do not take it to heart. They hear the word, but they do not live according to that word. They are those whose only contact with that word at all happens on Sunday morning. The rest of the week they live their lives as though they had never heard the word at all. They are hearers of the word only and not doers, which means that they are deceiving themselves. Such Christians, St. James warns, are in grave danger. They have become secure in their sinfulness and have no desire to change. They look in the mirror of God's holy law and do not see themselves for who they truly are, sinners who desperately need a Savior. Instead, they are content with how they look, and while they may be willing to admit that they're not perfect, they believe they're good enough. They go to church, after all, and that should be good enough, they think. Such Christians are not being doers of the word, but hearers only, deceiving themselves. To be a doer of the word, first and foremost, you must look into the mirror of God's holy law and see your sinfulness. This means that you not only speak the words of the confession at the beginning of the divine service on Sunday mornings as if you're simply going through the motions, but that you mean those words. It means that you readily acknowledge the truth about yourself, that you have indeed failed to love God with your whole heart, and that you have failed to love your neighbor as yourself. It means that you really believe that about yourself, and that you are truly sorry for your sins. It means that you really know that you really do deserve nothing but God's temporal and eternal punishment, and that knowing that, you sincerely plead for His mercy and forgiveness. Thus, to be a doer of the word, first and foremost, is to be a repentant sinner, one who admits failure before God and knows what that failure deserves. People nowadays want to skip this essential part of doing the word. I hear Christians all the time saying things like, yeah, yeah, I know I'm a sinner, but I don't need to hear that all the time. I want to be uplifted and motivated. Don't keep reminding me of my sin, but start telling me how I can live a glorious Christian life filled with God's blessings. It is for this reason that the popular false teachers of our day and age have such a following and pack stadiums full of people each week. For they rarely, if ever, remind people of their sinfulness. Instead, they exhort people to see the good in themselves and do their best to make them feel good about who they are, promising them that if they'll just follow their teachings, they will grow in their faith and blessings from the Lord will surely follow. But here's the truth, dear friends. You cannot possibly grow in your faith and receive blessings from the Lord if you do not acknowledge and confess your sinfulness. You cannot skip that part of doing the Word. It simply doesn't work that way. True Christian growth in faith comes from realizing how sinful you are. For the more that realization sinks in, the more you realize how much you need a Savior, how desperate you are to be saved, and the more dependent upon that Savior you will become. Be doers of the Word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. That means, first and foremost, repent. There's not a sermon in Scripture preached by our Lord or any of His apostles or any of the prophets who foreshadowed them that does not begin with the exhortation to God's people to repent. Acknowledge and confess your sins, dear friends. That's what doers of the Word do, first and foremost. For it is only then that you can then look into the perfect law of liberty, the perfect law that St. James tells us about, and through that perfect law, persevere. That perfect law, that law of liberty, is not the law at all, but the gospel. It's the message that Jesus came to earth to live and die for us. That His love for you and me drove Him to the cross, and that His sacrifice there frees us completely from our sins. That's the principle of Christian freedom. The perfect law of liberty that Jesus has blessed us with. Through Christ, God is delivering an emancipation proclamation to us. He tells us that we are free from every spot and stain and sin that our consciences accuse us of. It's that freedom that Paul rejoices in when he says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." That freedom is the motivating factor in the life of a real Christian. It's what prompts us to serve God and our neighbor, not out of duty, but out of love. Martin Luther summed up the relation of faith to good works very simply. He said, "Faith alone saves, but saving faith is never alone. What Jesus did for us is the only thing that saves us. But a person saved by Christ can't help but react to this great gift with a life of active service. The good works that follow faith are the identifying marks of a true Christian. The fruits of faith are what identify a Christian. Jesus said, "Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them." Think about it. What is it that tells the people who live around you whether or not you're a Christian? They're not going to come and check our church records to see if you're on the membership list. They're going to look at your life, at what you confess, and how you behave. So, dear friends, the message today from St. James, the message from our Lord always, is to let the fruits of your faith run free. Consider what Jesus has done for you, and if you think about that for very long, you'll find yourself with a naturally active faith life. St. James gives a concrete example in his message. He says, "Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unstained from the world." Caring for people, especially those of our Christian fellowship here at Peace in this church who need help, being careful not to get too cozy with the sinful trends and lifestyles around us, being careful not to let the world come in and influence and overtake the church. These are the natural fruits that appear on the tree of our faith. Sometimes, most often, we don't even think about them. We just do them, inspired by our Savior's love. The doors of our church building may not seem particularly significant to you. They're plain-looking doors, just like you'll find on many buildings. But those church doors mark a point that is very significant in your faith life, determining exactly what kind of Christian you are. Coming in through those doors is a tremendously significant part of being a doer of the Word. For you come in through those doors to enter the Lord's holy house of prayer, where you are invited to confess your sins and lay them upon the altar of your Lord Jesus Christ, and where your Lord visits you and delivers unto you His gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation through His holy word and sacraments. Here in the Lord's house, your Lord fills you with His word and with His holy and precious true body and blood in the Holy Supper to strengthen and preserve your faith, to ready you for service in His kingdom, to prepare you for being a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Thus, coming in through those doors, those seemingly insignificant doors, is an essential part of doing the Word. But going out through those doors is significant as well. Does the Word you hear make it past those doors as you leave on Sunday morning? Does the Word you hear bear fruit in your life? Or do you leave here unchanged, having heard the Word, but having no intention to do the Word? It matters not how you might have answered those questions in the past. The Lord stands ever ready with His mercy and grace to forgive and restore you to true faith. He stands ever ready at all times. If you have been a hearer only in the past, but repent of that sin and desire to change, fear not, for you have been completely forgiven. Leave here this morning with true peace, peace that can only come from the Lord, for the Lord remembers your sin no more. If, on the other hand, you have no desire to repent and become a doer of the Word, but desire to remain a hearer only, well then, friends, you have not truly heard the Word. And the prayer of our Lord is that you will hear it soon. Be doers of the Word and not hearers only, dear friends. I know that doesn't ring well with your Lutheran ears, but it's true nonetheless. Be Christians not only in name, but in life. And you know what that means. You know the Word. You've heard the Word. The Word has been implanted in you, and you know what it means to live according to that Word. God grant each of us an inspired, true Christian faith, the kind that gets carried along past those doors and out into our daily lives, the kind that does not treat this congregation as a social club, but as a faithful flock of the Lord Jesus Christ, gathered around His Word and sacraments, those the kind of life that knows and acknowledges its real need to support and accomplish the Lord's ministry and mission here in this place at this time. May each of us be the kind of real Christian which hears and believes the word that is preached and continues in it day by day. In Jesus' holy and precious name, amen. Now the peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.